Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What's happening?
We're going to church, baby.
Sounds like we're going back in time.
We're doing both. This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to a historic church in London and weep. It's the ABBA. It's the daddy. Can we just put that rumor to rest once and for all? By the way, I think it was in the 1960s. Could be off on the date. It was a professor who was the first one to determine that the Aramaic word for the male parent means daddy. Abba. He's just your daddy. And you're just his kids.
It was Joachim Jeremias.
What?
That was his name.
How you know it is?
I looked it up. Joachim Man, Jeremias. He later did. He did recant, though.
Okay, later but it on. Caught on.
It did.
And I think the reason it caught on is because of the evangelical trend to make God imminent. Forget this consuming fire business. No, he's our daddy. And you're just his kid. And this is a trend that has not helped anybody. And it is a trend that I actually just saw alive and well. Was watching, it was give or take 15 minutes, 20 minutes of a gospel presentation at an event that was designed to attract people so that they could hear the gospel. And overall, the guy knew his Bible, and the guy, you know, he was quoting scripture. So no reason to doubt the man's orthodoxy. But in the middle of his presentation of the gospel, he said, hey, there's a misunderstanding these days that God's just after you. He's going to get you. All he wants to do is just take you down. Well, that is the opposite of the truth. He's love. Okay. The problem with that statement is, first of all, it's partially right. God is love. But to deny that God is going to cut you down, that there is a day appointed for every person to give an account for their own lives and everything that they have done, to remove that, I think, is to remove the guts of the gospel. And I think there's two repercussions that are so devastating. Number one, people come because they just want a daddy. They don't come to be saved from the wrath of God. They don't see Jesus' sacrifice as being exceedingly kind because he absorbed so much wrath from the Father. The second problem is that one day when they learn about it, it's like, wait, huh? I was told God is my daddy and he's not mad about nothing. Well, God's anger is a provoked wrath. He's not a simmering deity. That is accurate. He's provoked to anger. But to deny that God isn't going to hunt everybody down and bring them into his courtroom of justice, I think is to remove the accuracy and the potency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's just one fruit of this movement that has been going on for decades in evangelicalism. Lowering God, bringing him down to our level. He's our daddy, just a kid. By the way, speaking of evangelical, was having a conversation with Mrs. Friel just this morning, as we are wont to do. And we were talking about deconstruction that happens on university campuses. I think one of the reasons that so many kids, air quote, deconstruct is because they were never constructed in the first place because they were given the God is your daddy message. They weren't told that sin is exceedingly sinful and the wrath of God abides upon them. Escape that wrath by believing in Jesus Christ who absorbed that wrath on your behalf. And so what have we done? We've created oodles of what they're calling exvangelicals. Isn't that clever? ex-evangelicals. And Mrs. Friel, I don't know what stirred her. She said, actually, I think so many of these students, rather than ex-evangelicals, they should be called fungelicals. Because church has been about fun. Church has just been about having a good time. Hey, come to the water slide thing. We'll talk about Jesus just a little. Come have a pizza. Come whatever though. Come to Womboland. And the kids were amused. They run off to the university campus. They're confronted by some really smart people who have honed their message. And guess what? They become ex-evangelicals because we were raising up so many fungelicals. I think there's another. Let's see if we can keep going with this. We'll call it emojelicals. Emotive evangelicals. I got to feel everything. I got to have a buzz all the time. And they're constantly going to concerts. They're constantly listening to music that gets them to feel, to stir something, because everything is about emotions. How many churches make it about emotions, make it about fun? And by the way, these churches that make it about fun, you take out some of the kids' programs, that church will shrink or die. I'm not kidding. You take out Womboland from Andy Stanley's church, that thing will shrivel. Now, I don't think it'll die, but it will definitely diminish in size. Why? Because they spent, I'll bet, millions of dollars, not exaggerating, millions of dollars to create a big fun center called Womboland so that parents will bring the kids, because the kids at least don't go kicking and screaming because they have fun at church. And what happens to these fungelicals? They become ex-evangelicals. Is that how they say it? Exegeticals. No, that's something completely different. Ex-evangelicals. But I digress. We're going to church in London to listen to this ABBA. You say, what is ABBA doing in a church? Well, they're not, unless they're, of course, in Sweden and they're going to a Lutheran church. This is an historic church in London. It's called something. The Bishop of Fulham, the church is St. Andrew's. Apparently, they booked out the space. I get it, especially in America. We have these multi-purpose facilities. Nothing wrong with it. I get it. One day you're doing church. The next day or that afternoon, you can be playing basketball. I get it. But there's just something about these dedicated spaces and the people who built them, the people who erected these magnificent cathedrals and churches in Great Britain, they did not build them so that somebody could rent it to play ABBA, Dancing Queen. They built it to set it aside as something special, something unique, something different, and something transcendent. They wanted you to feel small so that God would be esteemed as big. Look at how we've changed that understanding of what God is and who we are. This group, they booked out the place. 360 people are singing along to the Supremes, not the actual Supremes, of course, but the Supremes, I'm going to make you love me. When suddenly the Bishop of Fulham appeared on the stage barefoot and in a bathrobe, telling everybody they got to go because they're making a terrible racket, quote. It was a misunderstanding. They actually had the place booked until 11 o'clock. When the clock struck 10, he was all over it. Get out of this church. I can't sleep, because the parsonage was right next to the church. And wow! Did he get a shellacking for that? Why do I bring this up? Because this is indicative of the age in which we live. We are in a therapeutic culture. We are in the era of expressive individualism. If you desire to do something, anything that feels good, that emanates from the innards, and somebody puts the kibosh on it, guess what? They are committing the most serious crime. They are keeping you from expressing your authentic self. That is a high crime. That worldview is sweeping the globe, that nobody can stop you from being your authentic self. This bishop, he kept them from doing that. And wow, did they complain. Hey, I'm paraphrasing, but these are the quotes from the article in Christian Post. They didn't get to sing their solo. This man is horrible. Guess what? He had to issue an apology, acknowledging the distress. The distress? The words have no meanings. I mean, I know we're confused about Abba, meaning daddy, but distress? I mean, I think like, okay, you're bankrupt. There's no food in the cupboards and your kids are hungry. Okay, that's distressing. Being told, sorry, you got to go. You can't be singing your little Abba song, which is what they were prepared to sing next, the Abba song. And the person who was apparently singing the solo felt totally violated. And people expressed their anger to the point where this guy had to say, I'm sorry. This is the age in which we live. This is the worldview that is being downloaded into your children as we speak, which in my estimation is one of the reasons that we are seeing so many ex-evangelicals. Wanted to give you one last shot at the Abba, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you.
I can see you getting down with your bad self there. Yeah. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Have I got good news for Jimmy? This is Wretched Radio. Guess who's coming to Atlanta, Jimmy?
Who?
ABBA.
Ah!
The Voyage Tour. They're back. And they're peppier than ever.
Oh, shoot me.
That's not them singing. That's lip sync. That's the original recording. How are they getting away with this? Didn't they at least re-sing it and then lip-sync it? August 15th, Jimmy, you're not going to want to miss it.
Hey, I'll give you my ticket.
Hey, speaking of August dates, that's the best segue I've got. Some good news for you. The Wretched store is closing down, not because we're going out of business, but because I guess we don't want to do business. We don't want to sell stuff anymore. We want to give it away. Why? So more people can download it, so that people around the globe can have these resources. Right now, everything that we have produced is free at FortisPlus.org. So why are we having a sale? Well, we still have some stuff in the warehouse. So we're having a closing the store sale, and the prices are absolutely crazy. And so people, they're getting it because you're never going to find stuff cheaper. In fact, I might point your attention to biblical counseling books because we've had a bunch of those now because of Transformed. And we'll still provide the links so that you can find those resources because they've all been curated by David, who did such a great job with the Transformed TV series. But right now, all of those biblical counseling books, which you really... really, if you've never been exposed to biblical counseling, jump in. Get, for instance, even Jimmy, would you go to the website machine? Go to the store. How much is the Ted Tripp book? Not Ted Tripp, Paul Tripp book. Instruments in the Hands of the Redeemer. It's a magnificent book. Whether you're going to go into biblical counseling or not, it's never been cheaper. So please get your stuff before the store closes for good. FortisInstitute.org. FortisInstitute.org. You find it, Jimmy?
It's rolling. All right, Ted.
Hold on. Wait a second. Don't you worry. I can fill the time. There was something about the 70s that just makes me... It was the 60s and the 70s that were revolutionary decades, weren't they? These were the official decades where we decided to cast off the old world. Those ancient paths, they're not for us anymore. We need to express ourselves. And speaking of expressing ourselves, I think that's one of the reasons why so many couples are getting divorced. Because they are told that you cannot be told you're not doing it right. You can't be told that you're getting in the way. You can't be told to shut the cabinet door. You can't be told to change the oil. You can't be told that that maybe wasn't a nice thing to say. You must be fully affirmed. If not, the person who is criticizing you, not agreeing with you, affirming you full-throatedly is toxic. And what happens when somebody who believes that worldview enters into a one-flesh union and shares a roof and a bed with another self-absorbed individual? Pew! That was my explosive sound effect. Pew! You got yourself a war. And so many people struggle. So we've got a TV series called Transformed. It's season 4. It's Dr. Lou Priolo. Counseling couples. Does the subject of expressive individualism come up? Yeah, because that's the problem. And that's the purpose of marriage. To get us to stop living for ourselves and to live for another. You know, the way our Savior did. We're dropping a new episode every single week. It is absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. Don't be deceived by the plus. It should be called Fortis Free, but it's FortisPlus.org. And then you can scoot over to FortisInstitute.org and get Instruments in the Hands of the Redeemer for how much?
$7.99. Oh,
it's a hardback.
Yeah.
It'll help you in your relationships. Doesn't mean you have to become a biblical counselor. It'd be great if you did, but you don't have to. It'll simply help you in your relationships. FortisInstitute.org. As long as we're in England, Carl Truman writing an open letter, if you will, to the Church of England. Why? Because it's lost its way. I mean, it's like totally lost its way. The Church of Wales, I don't know if you heard this, the Church of Wales, they just instituted, or whatever they call it, a lesbian archbishop. She's openly in a same-sex relationship. Why? Because in 2021, the church in Wales voted to allow the blessing of same-sex unions. In the meantime, the Scottish Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church of Scotland already permit same-sex marriage ceremonies. Well, now they've just let the rotten fruit continue to flourish. Did that make sense? Does rotten fruit flourish?
Mm.
Well, it's gonna, because that's what I said. And I'm a talk show host. So therefore, it makes sense. They have gone full bloom outside of orthodoxy. They really do need to do what Carl Truman said, and that is change your name. You're not a church anymore. A church is a Christian word. So many of these people in the Anglican Communion, look, there's some good Anglicans, don't get me wrong, but overall, the Church of England is so sub-Christian. No, it's almost anti-Christian. It seems that they detest the Bible. The Jesus of Scripture, whoa, not a big fan of him. We know better. We've got to update. And Carl Truman writes, there's one last action the Church of England needs to take in order to bring its paper orthodoxy into line with its practices. Drop the word church from your name. It's very clear. It has found Orthodox Christianity to be an embarrassment for some time now. Yep. That is inevitable. When a culture that excludes the biblical anthropology of dependence upon and accountability to God collides with a religion that includes all without exception who seek to be truly human, sinners in need of God's grace. They want their cake, they want to eat it too. We want the religious trappings, we just don't want the religion. We like the formalism of it. We dig the smell of incense. Oh, the cathedrals are lovely if they're not being used for Dancing Queen concerts. But they don't believe the core tenets of the Church of England, which, by the way, are small O Orthodox. They have abandoned that, jettisoned that, while still saying, we want you to respect us and let us keep doing our thing. It's time for them to lose the word church. And all of these religions, these pastors that are so anti-Christian. Why? Be something, make up your own thing. See how many followers you get. Why do you have to hack away at biblical Christianity? Truman, a decision must be made. And the Church of England decided to pursue unbiblical exclusivity long ago. It's time to carry through to its conclusion the process of which this latest move is but a minor part. The complete detachment of the organization from historic Christianity. Tragic. And speaking of tragedies, how's about the Spurgeon College closing down? I'm not talking about the Spurgeon Center, which is at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas. I'm talking about Spurgeon College. This is the college of, well, you guessed it, Charles Spurgeon. Otherwise, wouldn't that be something if Spurgeon College came from somebody besides Charles Spurgeon? I think they've been around for like 169 years, and they're closing down. What a bummer. But one wonders, did Spurgeon College lose its way long ago? Jimmy, you've done some very thorough research on the Spurgeon College. Did something happen in 2022, 2023?
Yes.
What happened, Jimmy?
A guest chancellor, is that what it's called? Honorary chancellor was named.
Chancellor.
Yeah.
All right.
Rick Warren. Mm-hmm. And now it's closed.
Charles Spurgeon would have had nothing of the purpose-driven church. He would have denounced that. He would have said, wow, I thought the downgrade controversy was bad. The purpose-driven church, yikes. He would have scalded that, and rightly so. Well, they made that fellow the chancellor of Spurgeon College, which is simply a sign that they lost their bearings. And it's just another tragic episode in evangelical Christianity that is indeed jettisoning its own roots. We're not that far behind the Church of England. Yeah, we're holding on to some of the moral stuff, sort of, but we're not far behind when it comes to trying to soften everything, dull the sharp edges, so that people will, you know, like us. And what are we creating? Oodles. That's right, oodles of ex-vangelicals. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The authoritarian slide in Canada continues as Prime Minister Mark Carney dismissed concerns over Bill C-18, which is the censorship law blocking news sharing on Facebook and Instagram, even during emergencies like wildfires. When a reporter questioned whether Canadians should be able to access news on social media platforms during a crisis, Carney's solution was breathtaking. Just trust the CBC. Speaking of the generosity of Canadian taxpayers, the government is now offering LGBT-identifying refugees 12 months of income support. Apparently, regular Canadians waiting endlessly for vaccine injury compensation aren't the priority. The program encourages LGBT activists worldwide to move to Canada with taxpayer-funded initiatives while actual Canadians struggle to access basic health care. And the institutional retreat from gender ideology accelerates as yet another Chicago hospital bowed to reality. The University of Illinois joined three other facilities in suspending so-called gender-affirming surgeries on minors under the age of 18 following the president's executive order, which cuts federal funding to institutions that mutilate children. It's funny how quickly these diversity bureaucracies become expendable when the funding spigot turns off. Now, the war on parental rights reached new depths in Virginia, where Fairfax County school officials allegedly used taxpayer funds to secretly transport two pregnant teens to an abortion clinic. A principal and social worker reportedly bypassed parents entirely, with one girl sworn to secrecy before her abortion and another told that killing her baby was her only choice. She fled the clinic instead. The assault on parental authority has gone global as the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child reportedly prepares to demand access to safe abortion services for adolescent girls under the guise of children's rights. Argentina rightfully objected that the proposal exceeds the committee's mandate and threatens parental authority. It's worth remembering that the same UN that obsesses over teenage abortion access routinely ignores actual human rights violations from China, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela. Apparently, the right to kill unborn children ranks higher than freedom from persecution. And in lighter news, the FDA reminded us why we need the Department of Government Efficiency by recalling 64,000 pounds of butter because the label failed to mention it contains milk. Yeah, butter. It's made from milk. I mean, this revelation apparently warranted their second highest health warning because somewhere in America, people with milk allergies might mistake this dairy product for what exactly? The response from the internet was appropriately merciless, and rightfully so. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. You can't make this stuff up. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Especially if you got that there plantar fasciitis. spanning the globe to bring you, well, to be transparent, the stuff that I thought was really good that you sent to idea@wretched.org, but it wasn't quite enough to fill an entire segment. So you slap them together into a big pile, put on some ancient theme music, and call it Wide World of Christian Stuff. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you ever had that there plantar fasciitis business?
I don't think.
The bottom of your foot.
Uh-huh.
Which I got to tell you, I am experiencing so much unpleasantness, not just from the plantar fasciitis business, but when I somehow found myself gimping because the pain on the bottom of your foot, the plantar is the tendon or it's the muscle, whatever it is, it goes kafritz and it hurts like a nobody's business on your heel. It is like somebody took a ball peen hammer and just went bang on the bottom of your foot. Mwah! So I go to the YouTube machine, like we all do, to diagnose our malady. Discovered it's plantar fasciitis. And the cure for it, it depends on which video you watch. I have never seen more conflicting information. There, one video, you don't want to do this one thing. The next video, this is the one thing you need to do. Everybody's talking about it, but nobody seems to have any agreement about what to do on the plantar fasciitis. And now, just to add misery to my suffering, not only does the right heel just sing, every time I turn on the YouTube machine, I get videos that show the bottom of people's feet. I don't need that, YouTube. I don't need it at all. And speaking of YouTube, let's span the globe, shall we? There's a new trend out on the YouTube machine that you should know about, Mom and Dad. It's called Spawnism. You ever heard of it? Me neither. Spawnism, well, I'll just read the headline. And Jimmy, if you'd be so kind to translate this for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'd be grateful.
All right.
A Roblox cult called Spawnism. You got the translation on that for me?
My headphones went out.
I don't have any idea. A Roblox cult? Roblox. Here it is in the article. It's like YouTube, but for video games. Okay. So think a YouTube platform where the kids go to play games, adults too. One of these games is called Forsaken. It features a cult that worships the spawn, hence spawnism, I presume. The characters believe the spawn will grant a second life when you die. Is there anything that offers that isn't a video game? According to Game the Media, this game is now telling the kids to harm themselves, and they are. Spawnism Discord servers were encouraging members, including teenagers, to perform disturbing rituals. Reports emerged of self-harm, carving the spawn symbol into skin as a blood offering. Don't you love it when the world apes Christianity? We know it's true, but we don't want it. So we'll just make up our own version of stuff. Shares graphic images and even rumors of auto-cannibalism. Jimmy, you want to translate that one for me?
It's the act of a person eating parts of their own body.
All righty then.
Yep.
On TikTok, blood sacrifice tutorials racked up millions of views, blurring the line between meme and method. It's called Spawnism. The servers are also reportedly popular grounds for pedophiles looking for vulnerable children. The internet. It's called Roblox. Want to make sure that you know what your kids are looking at. And speaking of video games, here's a trend. Honestly, okay. Don't want to start a denomination, but maybe it's time for the church to start encouraging men to put down their joysticks. And I'm talking about the men. I'm not talking about children. Kids play games. I get that. I'm not sure that they're healthy or good for them. Nevertheless, at some point, you put childish things behind. I think I've heard that somewhere. You stop playing games. Chuck E. Cheese is going the Disney route. by catering to adults who want to do kids stuff in their arcade. Cool. The CEO of Chuck E. Cheese said the spinoff is a natural evolution for the company following the remodel of its 500 locations and sees it as an opportunity to extend our arcade legacy into new formats that engage both lifelong fans and a new generation through a curated mix of retro classics and cutting-edge experiences. And they serve food and alcohol. That's the Chuck E. Cheese catching on to the trend, just like Disney, apparently. Amusing adults. Can adults have amusements? Yes. But there are some amusements that need to be left behind. And I can't make a law where there is no law. Believe me, I would if I could. Video games, dude, you're wasting your life. Not just your time, your life. The hours and hours and hours that go into playing those games, for what purpose? Yeah, I know it's fun, I guess, to each their own. But is it growing you? I mean, the amount of time some adults spend on video games, how do I know there's a lot of it? Because sometimes I watch HGTV, not a lot, getting kind of fried on the HGTV. So many of their characters drive me bonkers. The hosts of the shows. Nevertheless, it's this couple. They're going to look for a house. And he's got to have his man cave so he can set up his video games. At some point, you got to put it behind. Let's keep spanning the globe, shall we? Cool. Toronto and Houston, both erecting Hindu statues. That's a sign of the times. Now, I guess we could get into a debate about our Christian heritage and debate it, but this is certain. We're living in a different era. We're living in a different country. These are massive statues that were built and erected by the approval of the government. Then one of the god of Ram, I think, is what it's called. This ain't the same America, is it? And I believe that one of the most underserved population groups inside of America, which actually shouldn't exist, we shouldn't have population groups. We need to be one culture. It's Indian people, as in from India. Do you see Indian churches? I don't. Maybe they exist. I've never seen one. I see Korean churches, which, by the way, in Korea, did you see the suicide rate for people over the age of 65? It is just going through the roof. And typically, somebody gets diagnosed and they don't want to be a burden to their families, so they commit suicide. It's tragic. But I see Korean churches all around Atlanta, at least where we live. I see all kinds of Presbyterian Korean churches. Where are the Indian churches? Is anybody I know a lot of churches have Hispanic churches. I think if I've got this right, in Toronto, maybe it's all of Canada, there's like 800,000 Indians. In Texas alone, there's 450,000 Indians. Are we missionarying them? They're just waiting to hear some good news that you don't have to worship 74,000 million deities and get dunked into a foul river to supposedly have your sins washed away. You can have them totally forgiven by Jesus Christ. It's a sign of the times. Here's another sign of the times. Sidney Sweeney. Ay, ay, ay. Have you been following this story? I tried to avoid it. Apparently, this young blonde-haired girl for American Eagle modeled jeans and had a double entendre. She's got good genes. G-E-N-E-S. Cross it out. J-E-A-N-S. See what they did there? And the left is saying, that's fascist, because she's promoting eugenics, because she's claiming that blonde hair and blue eyes is better and she has better genes. Oh, man. John Grondelsky from First Things responds and asks, hey, as long as we're talking about eugenics, how's about talking about eugenics? You know, like abortion, selective reduction, sex selection. Oh, and how's about eliminating the disabled through abortion, prenatal diagnosis regimes, search and destroy missions for children that aren't just exactly perfect. What do you call that? You call that eugenics. From the article, The Brave New World of Artificial Reproduction, where your baby can be made to order by sex, hair, eye color, IQ, build, and so forth. What is that? That would be called eugenics. And so while the liberals are squawking ridiculously about an American Eagle gene commercial, as long as you brought up the subject, let's talk eugenics, courtesy of everything that's non-Christian. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20 verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Blew it again. This is Wretched Radio. Eugenics, the subject, is all the rage. And yet, those who are squawking because a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl did a gene commercial stating her genes are better is somehow an Aryan. Because, you know, that's what the Nazis taught, that blonde hair and blue eyes is better. So clearly, she's a Nazi. And that commercial from American Eagle is about eugenics, which is, can you even imagine American Eagle having a meeting going, all right, look, We think that blonde-haired, blue-eyed people are better. What can we do to persuade America that that's true? Excuse me, I hate to interrupt. How are we supposed to be selling jeans? Jeans, that's it. Jeans. We'll create a double entendre and we'll foist it on America and get them to believe in eugenics. Utter nonsense when we see real eugenics happening all around us. And that is exactly where I biffed it, because I should have mentioned, if you go to FortisPlus.org, do not be deceived by the plus. It's all free. We did a resource a number of years ago called What Hath Darwin Wrought, where we presented the history of eugenics in Germany and America. It's really good. Went to California, Stockton, California. Met with John G. West from the Discovery Institute. Oh, and his book, What Hath Darwin Wrought? Darwin Day in America. We called the resource What Hath Darwin Wrought? Darwin Day in America. And hearing the history of eugenics in America in high places, like Supreme Court high places, like Oliver Wendell Holmes, like Teddy Roosevelt, like Margaret Sanger from Planned Parenthood. We've been practicing eugenics in America for well over a century. It was all the rage by people who thought we need to cull the herd. We need to make sure that we root out mental illness. We need to make, which they did, by the way, they tried to do at the insane asylum. I think that's what they called it back then in Stockton. They would sterilize people, forced sterilization. That was going on in some states into the 70s. Eugenics is alive and well. It's an awesome resource. Encourage you to avail yourself of it. You can do that if you go to fortisplus.org and you can see all of our resources, but maybe particularly What Hath Darwin Wrought with John G. West. It's really, really good. Speaking of misguided worldviews, woke history teacher says Inca child sacrifices were kind and critics have been brainwashed by white education. Quote from this government school teacher, the Incas practiced sacrifices like most other civilizations throughout history did. Oh, that's fascinating. Somebody that this bonkers is trying to say, well, it was kind of culturally normative. Well, yeah, that doesn't make it right. You know, sort of like chattel slavery. Every nation was doing that too, but we don't affirm that now, do we? This teacher using that argument to actually affirm human sacrifices in times of crisis, famine, natural disasters. Quote, when you're looking at the Incan civilization, you essentially have the ethics and everyone else. Sacrifices were volunteers from the elite classes because they believed that the elites were closer to the gods and could therefore appease them better. Huh. People actually volunteered to be sacrificed? That's almost like auto-cannibalism, Jimmy, where you eat your own body. Ugh. Can you, honestly, She knows this. They were volunteers. Do you have any sort of record of this? Do you have any footage that we could view where people said, hey, you know what? I'm from an elite family. And even though there's a famine and we're doing pretty well, I want to sacrifice myself because I think I can appease the deity. Utter nonsense. Furthermore, the Inca would intentionally use cocoa leaves and would use alcohol, something called chicha, C-H-I-C-H-A, and would drug up the sacrifice and leave them on a mountain to be exposed to the elements. And that's kind? And that's being a volunteer? No, that's barbarism. That's absolute paganism. And a government school teacher that they actually don't identify, but Matt Walsh commented on it, not the B talked about it, is an individual who is inside of a government school someplace teaching children. Let's go to, let's go back to Great Britain, shall we? 1 in 3 pregnancies, speaking of eugenics, in the UK now end in abortion. That's awful. Britain has 68 million people. Jimmy, we got 68 million people living in Alpharetta, if I'm not mistaken.
it feels like
that now that school's back in. Are you familiar with this school traffic? I had never heard of this before. What happened to school buses where we en masse would take children to school in one vehicle? Now the parents drive the kids get their own car, and traffic is brutal. Britain has 68 million people, a birth rate of 1.44, the lowest rate on record. America's at 1.66, by the way. The lower fertility rate is, it's going to put an end to a nation if you don't replace yourself. But don't worry, they've opened up their borders too, so they've got plenty of people who are willing to take over their lovely nation. 247,000 British pregnancies ended in abortion in 2022. It's an increase of 13%. 1 in 3 pregnancies end in abortion. That's a sign of a sick society. Let me take you to Africa now, sort of. About a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Jimmy showed his covetous heart when somebody sent in a text saying that they've got a bunch of books from their pastoral library they're not using anymore they'd like to give away. And you revealed
what? That
you like books.
I do.
Especially when they're free books from somebody else.
That's right.
And I said, well, you know, give them away to somebody who could use them. You gave out your home address. That was a little inappropriate, if you don't mind me saying. But then I got an email from my dear friend, Highland. Makes my heart warm, even when I just say the fellow's name. He is a dear friend. He sent a website address called globalgospelbooks.org. This is a ministry that will take used books and then they send them to Africa. So at least if you're in the Twin Cities, you can take advantage of this ministry that will take used good. Don't give them crummy ones. Give them good Christian books and they'll take them to Africa. They usually use shipping containers. So they wait till they have lots of them and then they get hopefully some free shipping and bring them to Africa. Now, if you're not in the Twin Cities, I suspect a little Googling, you might find a ministry like that in your hometown so that if you're not using books, why not bless somebody with them? Maybe you're a convert to electronic stuff and you just don't use them anymore. Then give them away to somebody who will actually take advantage of them. To Washington, Donald Trump to reverse Biden-era policy allowing VA hospitals to perform abortions. That's a good thing, isn't it? That there's, I know it's an executive order. I know it's just, it's going to be overturned, a lickety-split. But nevertheless, that is a good thing, isn't it? And couldn't we use more good things? Because we've got plenty of bad news, don't we? Specifically, how our brothers and sisters are being treated overseas. Christian persecution, it is on the rise. We are the number one persecuted religious demographic in the world. I know there seems to be a rise in anti-Semitism, but it's still Christians who are taking a shellacking around the globe. For instance, Africa. Muslims kill over 22,000 in Africa over the past year. Islamist groups have been responsible for over 150,000 deaths in the last decade, most of whom are professing Christians. Why? I'm sorry, President Bush, but it's not a religion of peace. It's a religion of the sword. That is how Islam was launched. That is how Islam grew. And that is still how many Muslims believe that they will usher in the end times. Once they take over the planet, and if the sword is needed, they're willing to wield it. But they're not the only ones. Let's go to India. At least 2 attacks on Christians are logged each day in India. Between January and May alone, 313 incidents were recorded. That doesn't mean those were the total number of incidents. Those are the ones that were reported. Viral hate, brutal mob violence, rampant social ostracization, courtesy of Hinduism. Headline number 2 regarding New Delhi. Hindu mob beat pastor unconscious, burned their Bibles. Churchgoers scatter. Lovely. In Indonesia, 200 Muslims storm Christian youth retreat, destroy property in Indonesia. That is just a sample. That's just the tip of the iceberg of how our Christian brothers are being persecuted overseas, which is why Jimmy and I regularly encourage you, please be praying for our brothers and sisters overseas. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.